got a job.
Oh, no. Oh, bad night.
You're lucky we only have 15 minutes.
On that note, we'll go to Job.
15 minutes of Job, oh, great.
Oh, I know.
Gonna see if I can do it.
Did the Job.
Hey, Lee, what's Job at?
I think it's chapter 19.
It's, I got it. What is it? It's chapter.
We'll find out.
That's where you're going.
Chapter 9?
19.
Good job.
It's a dirty job.
Well.
Everybody has to do it.
God, really.
Job is about a man of that God says, I've chosen him. And just like God is saying to you, I have chosen you. I've chosen you. I've called you. Not because of who this flesh is, but because of what you contain. And then the accuser says, big deal. And you give him everything. Yeah. Of course he's going to love you. So is a puppy dog. And God said to Satan, all right, take your best shot. I'm going to prove my love and Job's love for me in him, no matter what the world, the devil, the flesh, the parents, his dick, his alcohol, his fears, anything could do to him. He's got a couple friends, allegedly, quote unquote.
His buddies, Doug and Powell.
Doug and Harry.
Doug and Harry.
Doug and Harry and Powell.
Huh?
Doug and Powell.
Better text they do.
They made me all great.
And these friends, all they're really doing, they're acting, and they're acting real sincere, but they're really just mocking the hell out of Job. Yeah. Well, these two friends, the friends are the counterfeits of wisdom and prophecy within you. What? Hmm. And so now, I mean, Job's been 18, we've now had 18 chapters of Job's friends just kicking him right between the big toes. And now Job is going to answer his friends. Okay? Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times have you reproached me. You are not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. If indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, now know that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Now that's a hell of a thing to say. I mean, he's lost everything. He's got boils so big that the dogs are licking it for sustenance. He's lost everything. His kids have been killed. His wife is dead. His property is taken away. His health is gone. He has nothing. And he says here, I know that it was God that did it. Not anything else. I know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Behold, I cry out of wrong, but I am not heard. I cry aloud, but there is no judgment. None of you know anything about that. God, I've prayed to you. I'm still beset. You must not hear me. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. I had a meeting with the Levites today. Had a little meeting down at the ranch. Had a chat with the Levites.
Those of you playing the home game, you won't hear us for a couple of weeks.
He has fenced up my way that I cannot pass. In other words, there's no way out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If there's anything left on the face of the earth to do, you do it. Paul spoke of it in Galatians. He said, my flesh is trying to suppress down my spirit. My spirit is trying to suppress down my flesh. God damn it, there's nothing I can do. Oh, I got this plan. But you know the plan. It's just another road that'll lead to nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. What?
You reminded me of a cartoon. I'll just let it at that.
I reminded you of a cartoon?
Yeah, it's...
That's smart, Jackie.
Yukon Cornelius, and he's a prospector. He'll throw his pick, land in the ice,
and
he pulls it out, he lets it... Ah, nothing! Oh,
what has gone on?
Great. What a spiritual tie.
You're smoking the alcohol. Watch, I keep drawing in that garden.
You're growing funny little herbs in that garden.
Catnip died.
I think you guys have been growing more than acorn squash out there.
God, you're good. Those darn machines.
He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. Plural. He hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. Now, if he hadn't, there's not one of you who, if he wouldn't be here unless you have been in that position. Mm-hmm. Nobody's dumb enough to hear, sit here unless they've been in that position. Maybe Harry would.
Too weak, Harry.
He hath stripped me of my glory and hath taken the crown from my head. He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. My hope hath he removed like a tree. He also hath kindled his wrath against me, and he counteth me unto him as one of his enemies. His troops come together and rise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintances are verily estranged from me. My kinfolk have failed. My kinfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. Means you're close friends.
Yeah. Sounds like the Book of Doug.
They that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I am called my servant. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Maybe his kids aren't dead yet.
I think his kids are dead. I just think his wife's...
Oh. The word stranger means repulsive. My breath is repulsive to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know, in spite of all of that, that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. But you should say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishment of the sword, that you may know there is judgment. The operative line there is, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, we are in the period of the counting of the Omer between Passover and Pentecost. The barley harvest and the wheat, the barley harvest was the first fruit offering at Passover. The wheat harvest is the first fruit offering at Pentecost. They were both planted at exactly the same time. 70 days before Passover in the fall. But wheat grows far slower, spends more time in the dirt. Well, you are to be the wheat harvest on Pentecost. You then, Christ is the first fruit that sustains you during the period. Christ said, except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dieth, it bring forth much fruit. And the counting of the Omer in this period between Pentecost, Passover and Pentecost, you are no different than a field that has been planted. And the only part of all of that, whether it's the place, the dirt, the seed, the stalks, everything, the roots of it, as that plant grows, the identity has to become the wheat. And as now we go from Passover to Pentecost and the counting of this Omer, as that seed bursts forth from the earth and grows to a stalk, there can be no alliances with anything. Otherwise, you will just be among those that have heard of him by the hearing of the ear. You understand what I'm saying? Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it beareth much fruit. Each of you are the kernel of wheat. The dying is, you don't have to try to do anything. You just have to be honest with what's been happening. And everything that we're about from now until Pentecost will hopefully be the shedding of all of the alliances that you have in your mind, all of the cart ropes that are being dragged from by you from Egypt to the wilderness. And it's the shedding of it so that only that which is him remaineth. And the only way you can do this is by the understanding of Job here. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see God in this flesh. Go to Job 42. God has just got done slapping him some more. And Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that dareth to hide counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered in the past that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. But here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Remember, there are two places where you demand of God. Here's one, and the other is where in Isaiah, where you demand of God to show you things concerning his son. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Remember Job said, he said earlier in 19, and though this, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eye shall behold, and not another. In other words, I'm not going to depend on another's seeing. I shall see for myself. Now, that's the process. That's what takes place. The first 40 days of the Feast of Pentecost are suffering. And it's typified here. They left Egypt on the Feast of Passover. They wandered here from here to here until I saw Sinai. Every step of the way is complaining. We have one role. We are going from the world to the promise, to the mercy seat. The journey is in here, and it requires the destruction of all idolatry within you. Okay? But it requires the idea that we see each other as ourselves. No man ever yet hated his own flesh. You have to see each person as your own flesh. You understand that? For those of you that says, Paul said in this journey in Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 7, let those of you that are unmarried remain unmarried, let those of you that be married remain, be as though you were not married. I mean, in other words, it's this incredible zeal that focuses all of your energies on something other than you and yours. Now that's what we're about. Okay, that's enough. Everybody understand a little bit? Take it, big guy.